Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to welcome you to our national call, and I want to do something just for the fun of it that I enjoy doing once in a while. I welcome you from the grand ballroom of the Courtyard Marriott in Denton, Texas tonight. They set me up in an auxiliary wing because I'm on the road, and I'll be on the road through next Sunday. I've been on the road for 4 days, and God is richly blessing. We're seeing some movement. We've seen some incredible things happen internationally and also in the United States. There's a lot of shaking going on, but God. So I just want to encourage everybody tonight, no matter what you're going through, put your trust in the Lord, press into Him, and then seek Him, reach out for help where you need it, and let the Lord bring deliverance. So let's go before the Lord. Father Yahweh, your Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you're our Lord, our Savior, and our King. We dedicate this self and this night and every one of us to you, to your Holy Spirit, and ask that the anointing and a fresh fire of thy Holy Ghost fall upon us, that you'd fall afresh and anew, that you would deal with us to our hearts, deal with us in reference to ancestral and iniquities and curses. That, Lord, we are breaking those things off. We're getting set free, and through that, we're going to be able to make a difference and change the nation. You've told us to set ourselves apart from turmoil and dedicate ourselves and our purposes to the assurance that we know you and that you know us by name, you know our current situation, you know our challenges, and you've heard our prayers. So, Lord, we come to you asking that you give us peace, that we trust in the direction and guidance that you're going to give, as we go through the maze of terrible situations, circumstances, trials that are upon us and our families, and that we would not be afraid but recognize that you are with us and that you'll show us the way. You say over 365 times in the Word of God, fear not. So, Lord, we come to say we fear not. You said in Isaiah 49, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? And surely they may not. Yet I will not forget you, says the Lord. See that I have inscribed on the palms of my hands your name, and you are continually before me. So, Lord, we come and we choose to walk in your spirit and rest on you and in you, that the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and prayer, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and the delight in the fear of the Lord, not fear and judgment, but the delight in you, O Lord, a reverence in you would come upon us, that we would have ears to hear and listen and know and understand, that we would be blessed through the sevenfold manifestation of your Spirit, that your Word would encompass us this night, and that you would show us your ways, and that you would teach us your paths and guide us in all truth and light and holiness. Lord God, according to Psalm 25, that we would be blessed as you respond through your word and that you give us the instruction we need to set ourselves, our family, our city, our state, our nation free, that your glory would overwhelm us and that we would walk in your glory and that we would hear your voice as you say, walk this way. Lord, we are thankful for you. We bless you. We praise you. And we're expecting. We're expecting, Lord God, from your word and your will this night, a blessing that cannot be compared, and that your glory would overshadow us, that your goodness and mercy would guide us, and that you would write upon our hearts that which we need to know in order to be set free and to set thy kingdom free in your people. In Yeshua Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Blessings to everybody. I thank you for being on. I've got some good reports. I've got some word to give you. I want to give a brief summary of what we've been through. And if any of you have not received books, I sent out 40 series of books this week. I have a few left. I have four of the different series. If you've not received From God's Hand to Your Land, and the blessings and breaking off of the curses, let me know. And the other books, The Courtroom of Heaven and from the courtroom of heaven, prayers and petitions. Plus, I'm ordering additional books, The Laws of Life, that will be a blessing to you. So let me know. Again, my name is Wade Butler. It's In His Name Ministries, /Wade Butler, at 6110 Sienna, S-I-E-N-N-A, Arbor Lane, Houston, 77041. If you want to correspond, or it's Reysvine, R-E-Y-S-V-I-N-E, at sbcglobal.net, and request. And if I have it, you'll get it. We've been blessed that people have contributed, and we've had enough to buy the books and to send them out. And, you know, it's a real blessing to see what God's doing. I want to just kind of go ahead, Bruce. Was that you saying something, or did you just? Okay. Let me just go over the first book. Every one of you should have had it now for at least a week. Some of you have had it longer than that. Talked about our title deed, signs of curses on the land, how you can purchase a curse, how you can go in and literally, when you purchase a piece of property, and if it's bought from somebody, it was a foreclosure, or it was fought because of a divorce, or because of any circumstance that would be negative, you can literally purchase a curse that's on the land, on the property. How to go briefly into the courtrooms of heaven, how you break the curses, establishing a new name, reestablishing the covenant. This book talks about the elements. I didn't go into that, but a covenant of remembrance. And what we've done, and I'm actually going to post pictures. My wife and I have taken a wall in our prayer room. It used to be called the media room, and it is the media unto the Lord. And we're having a bunch of things framed, and the flag. We have the U.S. flag on one side, and we have the Appeal to Heaven flag on the other. And we have pictures all through there, scripture, other things. And that is our, you could call it an altar. It's our place where we pray all over the place. But that's a specific place where we go to pray. These books are in that room, as well as multiple copies of different translations of the Word. And it's a blessing. That room has been prayed over. We had a ministry couple, a pastor and his wife that had been in missions. They came in, and they needed a place to stay for a few weeks, and I was able to convince them to stay, and they stayed 3.5 years. And we met every day in that room and prayed, and what a blessing. You can sense the anointing and hope in heaven in that room as we go in there to pray. And I encourage every one of you to establish such a place in your home. All right, little review. And then I'm going to go into the teaching. Then we're going to open up to prayer again and talk about circumstances and the different promises that God has brought forth, the different things that we're dealing with. And you're going to be blessed with some of these new publications. So I want to start out dealing again with what can bring on a curse. And I want to talk about that for just a minute. There are 7 specific areas that God outlines. One of them is anti-Semitism or racism. It doesn't make any difference who's against. The prejudice. Robbing God in your time, your offerings, your efforts. It's not just money, folks. It's your time. He desires your time more than he does your dollar, believe me. Robbing man, improper business dealings. That came out of Zechariah 5:1-4. Dishonoring your parents, Deuteronomy 7. Well, Deuteronomy is always a tough book, but it also talks about the blessing. Idle words and self-cursing. I used to tell people all the time in motivational training as I did that, and I tell them, look, if you say you can't do something, guess what? You're not going to be able to do it. Now, have common sense. If you can't jump out of a plane without a parachute. At the same time, you can jump out of planes with parachutes and land safely. It's the attitude of what you're doing and the words that you speak on yourself. If you're going to speak negative curses over your family, yourself, my son, my daughters are no good, they keep doing this, instead of speaking the scripture, they're going to end up doing just that. I have a brother-in-law who, my father-in-law, all he did was speak down to him, and the man is worthless. He's 58 years old, and he's just worthless. And I hate to say it, it's a curse that's on him. We've been talking to him about it. He accepted the curse, and he never broke it. You need to break these curses. Broken relationships, Malachi 4:5-6. These things leave doors open. and what we have been dealing with over these, now we're going into actually 8 weeks, and we're going to keep this going as long as God wants us to, was how to break a curse and how to deal with them and not allowing these doorways to be open so we cancel that which the enemy is doing. So I want to bring a little teaching tonight. In the book from Jeanette Strauss, those of you who have just gotten it, probably like me, you tried to read it all in one day and come back, you have to study, you have to go back. But you're going to get some real blessings because I have multiple references here tonight. The Lord's saying, you know, that He wants us to walk in a freedom that we have not walked in because of lack of knowledge, because we haven't actually understood that which was in the Word, because, to be honest with you, as a pastor, I can say this, we didn't teach it. We didn't teach spiritual warfare in multiple denominations. Most of them don't. Or how to deal with what is actually the law. And many of you will come back and you say, you're being legalistic. Well, guess what? The enemy is legalistic, and he takes you before the courtrooms of heaven. He deals in legalism. There are laws set in heaven in motion. There are laws on the earth. Perfect example, the law of gravity. Now, I'm gonna pick on Monty, not that I'm going to say anything bad about him, but I'm going to take Monty out of the country. He's up there in North Dakota. He's been a rancher all of his life, and I'm going to take him into New York, and we're in New York City. We're going to climb. We're going to go up to the highest building, and we're going to put him out on the edge. And he's got a choice. He can believe God and step off that building, and he's going to crash because he has broken the law of gravity, and he's going to go straight down. Or he can understand there's laws of common sense and say, man, I'm not going to step off that building. I'm going to ride the elevator down. So there are physical laws, spiritual laws, applications all through the Word of God. And what we have to understand is that we have to get into the strategies of the Word to gain a clear reference to what God is saying, particularly when Jesus said, you know, we all get this scripture, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except through the Father. We're not limited into the type or number of cases, and this is right out of page one in this book, that we can bring before the Lord. We can come before the Lord in every courtroom that He has, in every situation that we come into, and we can plead our case. And our plea is simply this. We confess any sin. You ask Him beforehand, is there sin? Did I bring it about? Did family bring it about? Is it ancestral? Is it a carried-on curse? Is there something on the land? Because, you know, first of all, we were dealing with ourselves. As soon as we get past ourselves, we deal with the land, and we deal with it along the way. So the Lord is saying, you know, that He's known us since before He formed us, and that we have a right to come before Him. He loves us. We are covered by the blood. We are covered by that which Jesus did. At the same time, I'm not saying butter yet, at the same time, the enemy is going before the court accusing us. If we step into sin, if we fall, the enemy brings us before the court. But what does the Word say? He is faithful and just to forgive our sins if we confess them. If we don't know that we've committed a sin, but we have trial, trauma, going on in our lives, ask the Lord, is there an area in our lives, in my life, my family's life, is there an area upon this land where we are being condemned by the wicked, where the enemy is going before you and there's a judgment rendered against us that we should not have to deal with? And He'll show you. And He's pretty specific for them. For if you, you know, for sin shall not any longer exert dominion over you, since you are now not under the law as slaves. Now understand this. We're not slaves under the law, but we're under grace as subject to God's favor and mercy. What then are we to conclude? Shall we sin because we no longer live under the law, but under God's favor and mercy? Certainly not. Do you not know that if you continually surrender yourselves to anyone to do His will, then you're slaves to Him, to whom you obey, whether it be to sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness, right doing and right standing before the Lord. So I want to be in right standing before the Lord before the courts. When the books are opened, which is the testimony of the earth, of heaven and earth, about us, the books, I want to every one of those things be expunged. I want my book to be a clean slate, nothing but blessings, because of mercy and grace. So I want to encourage every one of you. Now, chapter 3 in her book, she talks about the dream and a dream that she had. I'm not going to go into that because that's, I don't want to take it out of a third person to a fourth person testimony. You're going to have your own. And I want to talk about mine right now. My children were raised in the church. I'm not proud of the fact that my daughter stepped out. Okay? God called her. He said he'd raise her up as a testimony unto him. She's not walking in that right now. She fell into a relationship that she should not be in. I am praying and standing in the gap for my daughter, and I'm repenting on her behalf continually before the Lord for forgiveness for this sin. We can do that. Now, one of my dearest friends, I love her dearly, I saw her the other day, Jackie, and she had asked me about standing in the gap. You don't stand in the gap for anybody God doesn't tell you to stand in the gap for. You have a right for your family. And now, I disagree with Jeanette in that, in this books, because of the experience that I have. If you go standing in the gap, or I'm going to pick on Monty again because I love Monty and he understands what I'm doing. I mean, I've been through some of this. If I stand in the gap for Monty and his girls, okay, I'm going to take on the powers and principalities that they're dealing with. Plus, I'm taking on the ones I'm dealing with and my family's dealing with. I don't want to do that. Now, I can intercede for Monty and his girls and his family, and I'm not going to take on any judgment or principalities or rulers of wickedness that he's dealing with. I'm only going to take on that which I'm dealing with. So when the Lord says, pray for the peace of Israel, he didn't say stand in the gap for Israel. He said pray for the peace of Israel, for Jerusalem. Okay, it's a total different thing, intercession versus intercession with standing in the gap. So I am going continually before the Lord and asking for my daughter to be removed from judgment and the relationship that she's in, to be removed from judgment into the court of grace that she can see and hear again. Because she saw and heard. She is a seer. I have a gift of being a seer. She has the gift of being a seer. Last time she was at our home, that's not the last time, it was a couple months ago. She was at her home. We were talking about this. And she didn't want to talk about it. But we prayed. When she walked out and got into her car and she started to pull away, she saw a lion walk out from the front of my house through the walls and sit down at the by the mailbox as she was pulling out, and she stopped and she looked at it and she said, Daddy, I could see it as clear as if it were an actual animal sitting there, and it was humongous in size. It was giant. And she says, it's like he smiled at me. And I said, Kristen, the promise is that he would raise you up to his glory. You're not walking in his glory. You slipped and fallen. You're going to have to step back into him. You're going to have to repent and turn away. The wedding was called off. Now, she hasn't separated yet, but she's now into a position where she's coming over to see her mother and I regularly, every week, where she would go months not even talk to us, and God is moving on her heart. Now, it's not up to me to say, Lord, I've got to have it done today, that she's going to come out of this sin. No. It's up to the Lord. I'm standing. I'm praying. I'm interceding. I'm staying in the gap. The Lord says, and this is on page 13, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee. And I will save my children. It's out of Isaiah. So I know God's promise, and then we all stand on our promises in his word. My daughter's going to be delivered. He said he'd raise her up to his glory. That does not mean in a relationship that's ungodly. Every one of us have experienced it sometime or another with our children, ourselves, whatever. So God is in that situation. Now, in the book, you know, I've talked to Jeanette personally on many occasions, face-to-face and over the phone. God delivered her daughter. She had fallen so far that she was actually working in a strip club. Then she opened a boutique in the strip club. She got beat up, raped, went through all kinds of horrible situations. God brought her back, restored her. She immediately went into the missions field. Not only was her life changed, she has changed the lives of many hundreds of people. And through these teachings, thousands are being changed. So when we have knowledge of sin in our children's life, our lives, in our heritage, in our lineage, it's all rebellion against God. So it's our job, as it comes to our remembrance, as God shows it to us, that it's an open doorway to the enemy, and we can close that doorway by repenting for our bloodline, our blood. So, the righteous blood cries out from the land, the earth. So it's going to go into the earth. It's going to be where we are. So if a person's held captive, a legal prisoner because of sin, be it yourself, your family, your loved ones, you have a right to contend for that person. Now, I pray. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't pray for every one of you every day. I pray for everyone. And I ask that God would move upon your behalf and that he would set you free through what we're doing. But I'm not standing in the gap for any of you unless God tells me to, because I got enough to deal with. As a pastor, pastors are responsible for their flock. You wonder why so many pastors get burned out. They're literally standing in the gap for those that are under them. And they're held accountable for those that are under them. So when the Lord says that, you know, you have all the thought, I've given you all authority over every power, principality, ruler, wickedness in heavenly places, and you're standing in the gap for hundreds, say thousands of people, you can be, I mean, not you're not a bullseye, you are a landing site for the enemy. So your life has to be right. And any little thing the pastor does gets brought to the surface, particularly if they teach about it, and God's going to reveal it. So when we're dealing with our children, our teenagers, our brothers, our sisters, we got to understand that when we bind a strong man, and I have a series of prayers, and I'll be glad to send them out to anybody. If you want the prayers, all you got to do is email me and say prayers. And I've got series. I've sent them out. John Rockwell's got them. Several others have them. Monty has them. And it's how to pray to deal with situations in your life every day. And it's based on what God gave me. He started giving it to me years ago, and he's added to it. It's dealing with what is your armor? How do you put it on? It's not just all written in Ephesians. He'll give revelation knowledge. He'll give you wisdom about that, about dealing with the strong man. When a strong man, fully armored, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger one comes upon him and overtakes him and takes from him his armor, which he had trusted, and divides his spoils, that's Luke 11. If we're going to bind the strong man that comes against us, we have to have our life right. So how, and the Lord says in Matthew 12:29, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he plunders the house. You can be a strong man. You're a strong man, strong woman for your own house. And when sin is apparent and it's not repented for, the enemy has legal right to come in and plunder your goods. And that's a strong statement, but it's there. You've got to look at both sides of anything the Lord says. Who's it applying to? When was it applied? How is it applied? So as we go forward, as we come before the Lord, and as we come to break these curses, and don't come under condemnation. Don't any of you receive condemnation from the enemy. All of us have sin. If I was to say that I did not have sin, I would be an absolute liar and a sinner in just the statement. I'm in the marketplace ministry. I deal with people of all kinds, shapes, colors, sizes. My wife is in the clothing business. I deal with beautiful people. To say that I have not looked at a beautiful woman to come in the store, I go, my God, that woman is beautiful. Did I lust after her? No. I didn't fall into sin. But it would be easy to fall into sin. The enemy throws things in your faces. He throws things in your faces business-wise. He throws things into your faces to tempt you continually. But God. I want to change from that teaching right now, because I want to bring you a couple things. We need to understand how our prayer is to work, and we need to understand what we're dealing with. Each person needs to get to the place where they have that intimate place, that hidden secret place before the Lord. Now, like I said, is it a physical place? In a house? It can be. Is it in your car? It can be. Is it taking a walk on wilderness trails or in a park? It can be. It's how you go into a prophetic prayer. It's how you go into understanding the relationship with the Lord that you have, that you become intimate with the Lord on a one-on-one personal basis. And a lot of people that come on these calls and come on my prayer calls and intercessory groups over the years say, I don't know how to pray. Well, praying on the phone makes it easier because you're not standing in front of a bunch of people. So that's a place to begin. I know that Kelby's mother used to be very intimidated, and she became a lioness before the Lord in prayer as she learned how to pray. So when we go before the Lord, our prayers are not a means to manipulate God, and He is not our Santa Claus. He is a righteous judge, so our dialogue, you need to understand, He's our Father, and He's the righteous judge. You can come to Him as Abba Father, Daddy. You can come to Him as Yahweh, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, as my righteous Lord. You go before Him in different circumstances and situations with communications. You're not always going to be taking every request before a courtroom. This is a teaching to get you set free from sin. All right, you have confessed every sin that you know. You've done everything you believe the Lord told you to do. Daddy, Father, I need to talk to you. I don't understand something. I need a clarity. I need wisdom beyond my understanding. I need wisdom that comes only from the throne. You need to have a situation in your prayer that is literally communion. You know, when He came to Adam in the garden, and He walked in the garden in the cool of the day, Genesis 3:8, and what did that, what does that really mean? It literally means that He walked with man. He could literally, man could feel the presence, the breeze of God coming in, the coolness of the Spirit. And the word breeze literally means cool in Hebrew. It means the Spirit, the wind, that tingling, that all your hair stands on end, that presence that prompts you to know that you're in the presence of the Lord. So when we seek after Him, when we go into His presence, and we can go into it with praise, and the highest praise that you can give Him is read His word back to Him. I was a singer for many, many years. I don't sing much anymore because of some situations. I do sing, and I actually sing more in the Spirit now than I sing somebody's written song, and I will sing psalms. And many times He'll just give me a song. I'll sing it in the Spirit, and He'll give me the interpretation, and I'll sing it out in English. I've actually had somebody say, I sang a song, and he says that was in perfect Hebrew. Had no idea. We come to the Lord, and as we surrender in our spirit, we enter into His realm, and His realm of understanding, and His purpose for our destiny. You know, it seems like a mystery. It's the same mystery of Christ in us. In 1 Corinthians 2, it says, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not wisdom of this age, nor are the rulers of this age. And it really comes to nothing. I mean, we don't have a ruler on this earth right now that's got much wisdom in my consideration. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this day knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord. Had they known, they'd not be out like Issus, this group that is butchering children, beheading them, disemboweling their mothers after they raped them. I mean, horrible things are going on in the world. And the Lord's saying, if they had any wisdom, they're doing this, and they say, because of their God, how can you commit this kind of sin in the name of any God unless it's that of the evil one? So we seek the wisdom of the Lord. We seek the wisdom of the Lord by going before Him and giving His word back to Him and then talking with Him. He doesn't need you to say His name over and over again. He doesn't need you to repeat Lord God Jehovah. He doesn't need but Father God. He just wants to have a conversation with you. if I were one of my dearest friends, Linus, I love him beyond words, he's on the phone right now. And if I said every other word to Linus, Linus, and Linus this, and Linus that, and Linus this, and Linus that, all he'd ever end up hearing is Linus. Or if I did it to any of you, Richard or Robert, any of you. But when Robert and I have had conversations, and we dearly love each other, and we love to talk and pray together, when Robert and I talk, I might not ever mention his name. He might not ever mention my name. But we go together, and we communicate one-on-one in the Spirit of the Lord. So when the Lord says through David in Psalm 51, my sin is ever before me. Now, anytime you take Scripture, look to see what was the Scripture, the word before and the word after. What was the context of that? This is David after his great sin, okay, the sin of Bathsheba. He's coming before the Lord. He says, my sin is ever before me. It's literally before me. He's carrying his sin. It's such a great burden. And he repented. There was a cost for the sin. That which he sowed, he reaped. He lost the son. That which we have sown in our lives, we still reap. And we say, well, I've been forgiven for that. Why am I going through this? Well, guess what? You've been forgiven. It's been paid for by the blood. You can still have a harvest of the sin. You, as a man, got a woman pregnant. Now, you repented of it, but she had the baby. That's the same thing David was dealing with. So the Lord's saying, I want you to pursue me in such a way. I want you to pursue me in love. If you desire the spiritual gifts, seek after them, that you can come before me and communicate with me and prophesy, that he'd give us understanding and wisdom, and he'd speak the mysteries to us. That's out of 1 Corinthians 14. He wants to raise you up to a place of understanding the mysteries. Now, the mysteries that we're dealing with in this study is the mysteries of sin, the mysteries of ancestral sin, of curses, of iniquitous sins, and how we're going to deal with them. Well, most people have no idea that they even have a curse on them. They just know that, well, I failed in this, or I failed in that, and I'm afraid to do anything else because I'm afraid of failing. You know, that's one of the biggest areas that the enemy puts upon you, is you're afraid to move forward because you failed in the past. Well, there is a spirit of failure. There is. There is a curse of failure. You come before the Lord in this teaching. He's saying, let's take this before me. If you have failed over and over again, I don't care what's it in, and you bring it before me, and you have a curse, a judgment against you that the enemy's brought against you because there's been iniquity in your bloodline in the past or because of sin that's in your life right now, confess it before me. You have to repent first before the judgment can be changed. And let him lift the judgment. I come before you, Father, and in the name of Jesus. I come before the courts of heaven. I'm asking right now, I see that I have this area that I continually fail in. I don't understand. I need the wisdom that comes from the counsel from above, from my throne room of grace. Will you speak to me and show me that which it is? And, Lord, I ask forgiveness for it. I lay it before you, the sins of the past, the sins of the present, even sins of omission. Because so many have sins of omission. God told us to do something, we didn't do it. God told me to go witness to a dear friend, and I felt embarrassed because being in the church and him being an elder of the church, I felt that he really knew God. And the Lord says, I want you to go minister to him because of the area of sin in his life, and I put it off and put it off. He died of a heart attack. Oh, I sinned before the Lord because I disobeyed him. Now, I do not know. I was never told if somebody dealt with him. I pray that the Holy Spirit did. But because I failed to do, that was a sin of omission. I did not do that which I was supposed to do. And because of that, I didn't fulfill that situation in that church many, many years ago. This was back in the, late 80s. And it grieved me. God forgave me for it. He delivered me from it. He forgave me for it. And I took it out of the courtroom, not even knowing what I was doing, from the courtroom of judgment that the enemy had to bring that condemnation upon me to the courtroom of mercy and grace. And I was forgiven, and it was covered by the blood. So we need to understand that we're dealing with an enemy that is ever before the Lord accusing. And that accusations can bring about sickness, disease, infirmity. Many of you know I have fought the enemy in areas of sickness and infirmity. And I haven't liked it, not one little bit. God has delivered me over and over again, and then he would tell me what I'd done. Many times he would tell me it was for the sake of somebody else. A lot of times it was because of me. In the effort to gain understanding and wisdom, I have gone before him over and over again, show me. And it comes down to a few simple scriptures. Hosea 6. Actually, it's 4:6-9. If you've got your word of God, take it out right now and take a look at it. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And everybody quotes that. My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. They leave the rest of it out. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me. Now, what are we called to be? He wasn't just talking about priests in the temple. We are priests before him. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. So we're destroyed of lack of knowledge, and I'm going to go into, you're going to really get this when we get here. I used an example earlier. I was using Monty's name. But I took him out of the country and put him in New York City on the highest building, and he stepped off because I told him to step off because God will protect you. Well, he broke a law. Okay? Law of gravity. Now, just because he didn't know anything about the law of gravity of stepping off a skyscraper does not negate the fact that he broke the law and he suffered the consequences. Many of you, I know Ken and I talk about this on a regular basis when we get a chance to talk, you can break a law of an illegal, unrighteous government, but God put that government over us. So if we break the law until they're shown the truth of the law, we're going to suffer the consequences of the law, even though they might be illegal in the earth. Well, it also happens in the spirit. So let's go on. So he said, I have forgotten the law. If you've forgotten the law of God, you will forget even thy children. And go further. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore, I will change their glory to shame. And somebody just hit a button. So you might not like that. But the Lord says, they will eat up the sin of my people, and they will set their heart on their iniquity. He'll turn their sin unto sin. And there shall be like people like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. So everybody wants the quote, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of what? Because we forgot the law of the Lord. You say, well, we're not legalists. We're covered under the blood. Yes, we are. But the enemy is going to bring you before the courts anyhow. So as you commit a sin or as you're aware of a child's sin or somebody in your family's sin, go before the Lord and ask him to remove that sin. Transfer it over to this. It's covered by the blood. It's in the court of forgiveness and mercy. Bang, it's got the seal upon it, and you move on. Let's take a look at this. If the body of Christ, any one of us, I don't care who it is, the tragedies that we've experienced, could they have been avoided? Well, some things could. I'd like to go back and change a lot of things. Some of them were because the laws of life were literally laws that we transgressed. You know, there's a law of notice and warning. God will give you notice and warning. And you do it anyhow, and guess what? You've transgressed the law. You know, for every mishap, tragedy, calamity, everything that's in our lives, it's either caused by the enemy. We all want to, you know, who was that black comedian that everybody used to laugh about? The devil made me do it. Well, I'll tell you what, the devil does make some people do things, but most times because we break a law of life. We break a law that God set in place so that we could understand that which could come upon us. Now, I'm going to mention Robert again. Robert and I were talking, I guess it's a year, year and a half ago, maybe it's 2 years ago. We were talking about he went before the courts on something, and it's part of his testimony. And the judge literally told him, because he laid out the things for trying to save a piece of property. And the judge spoke to him, and Robert, you can correct me anytime you want to, but basically the judge says, you're looking for justice. and you won't find justice in a court. Because perfect justice only comes through spiritual law, not through the law of the land. You see, God says that we have spiritual laws we have to go by. And if we're dealing with those, they're not going to line up to man's laws. Man's laws were set on the premise of God's laws, but they've been perverted. But physical, natural laws and spiritual laws work like the Trinity. Three areas, natural, physical, and spiritual. And they govern everything that there is. Now, the truth of it is that we look out in physical laws, like I say, the law of gravity, the law of buoyancy. There is actually a law about buoyancy written in the books. We are buoyant as long as we keep our lungs full of air. Let the air out of our body, we're going to sink. It's like we're not under no longer under the Mosaic law. We are under a natural physical law governed by spiritual laws. We must recognize that through the Word of God, that His laws are not man's laws. They are absolute. And this is where an entire teaching can be brought in about the dialectic process. Our current government in the United States uses the dialectic process better than any place in the world. You say one thing meaning another. You twist words. There are no absolutes in the dialectic process. This core education that they're bringing upon the nation is an evil form of education. It's twisting history to make it fit to their guidelines of core education. I won't get into all that, but you need to understand something. We are all facing the breaking of God's absolute law, compromising to man's law and man's principles, and man is saying we're not subject to God's law. Well, we are. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever, and He does not change. Hebrews 13:8. God's laws are not dealt on principles. They are dealt on absolutes. We have chosen as a people to go away from the absolutes to principles. They are unfailing, and they're right 100% of the time. They reflect the character of God and not circumstances. That's why we can come before the Lord and say, Lord, I have broken this law. I have sinned. Forgive me. And because of this, You said you're righteous and just to cover it by the blood to forgive me. So I ask that you take this away from the accuser, put it under mercy and grace. I repent of that, and I ask that you would settle forever in heaven this issue. And Psalms 119:89 says, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. His law is absolute. So as we go through this and as we go into the courtrooms of heaven, we're going to go into specific areas over these next couple weeks, and I'm going to bring specific prayers that are in this book and out of this area that you can deal with and break off unbroken curses that you didn't even know were there. You're going to deal with the laws of life that are spiritual laws that God established for this nation, and we're going to reinstitute those laws. Now, spiritual laws often seem like the opposite of man's wisdom. You know, and the Lord says, natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because we're not spiritually discerning. And God says, I want you to become spiritual discerning. I want you to come to the point that you recognize that which is going on around you, that which is in your family, that which is in the land, that we can break these things. Many of you are counseling loved ones, children, in-laws, and the law of sowing and reaping is taking place in their lives, and you see it. You see that which is happening in their lives, and it grieves you that they're reaping what they sowed. God says that even you can break the curse of it, there still might be a harvest, but you can break the curse, and you can be set free, and in that you can help. So not only them, but as I said before, the land that they dwell on, the city they live in, the state of the nation. Now, we're dealing with a wounded and broken nation. Most of you know that. You're where you are in the Republic or individually, and some of you are that are on this call are Tea Party people. Some of you are Republic people. Some of you are patriots. But you're all seeing the same thing. That which the enemy is doing in your lives and that of your family is causing great destruction, and you need to be set free. You need to have the blessings of the covenant overtake you. We're dealing with a wounded and broken nation. Therefore, we're on a land that has become cursed. It's cursed because of the unrighteousness, the breaking of laws, the breaking of covenant. Every one of those seven areas I talked about, not giving unto God, unrighteous business dealings. Just deal with the government. You talk about unrighteous business dealings. They can come in under eminent domain and take your property, even though you paid for it. And then you come to find out that your property, even though it's paid for, has a lien on it because you get a deed in trust, a title deed in trust. And that trust is owned by the city, state, nation, and that's in turn owned by the City of London, which is a separate nation within itself, and that in turn, a portion of that is owned by the Vatican. That's the reason the Vatican and the Pope got up several months ago and said, we own all the nations, all the land, all the bodies, and all the souls of the world, because they've been sold out to him. So we have to understand that every area of this nation is now functioning under a curse unless there's been repentance for the selling out of the nation. And we are living in a lawless land, a lawless society that was declared this is not a Christian nation. We have to go back to the founding fathers' principles, which were written on from the Word of God, and declare these things as sin, separate them from that which is actual truth through the wisdom of God, cancel the curse, and set the nation free. I truly believe that you that are on this call have been called to be a part of setting the nation free. You start with yourself, and then you're going to branch out. So that is the word that I wanted to bring tonight. We're going to go into great depth about the laws of life, the laws dealing in the curses. And let me just give you an overview. Here's some of the categories. I want you to listen to this. This is an overview. These are 50 categories. I'm not going to read them all. The law of sowing and reaping, we understand. The law of multiplication. The law of abasement. The law of reward. The law of agreement. We might agree with somebody on an unrighteous act or sin, and we therefore bring the curse and the sin upon us because we agreed. The law of accountability and responsibility. The law of seasons. The Lord said there's a season, time and season for everything. The law of notice and warning. God gives notice and warning, and if we break that, we transgress the law. The law of forgiveness. What is that? It's all through the Word. Predominant in John, you know, if you forgive, you shall be forgiven. If you do not forgive, it shall not be forgiven unto you. The law of love. Second Corinthian laws, life, sin, death, health. There is a law of prayer. Now, I was reading this, and I went, dear God, concerning the law of prayer, the foundation scripture says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatever we ask, we know that he has the petitions that we put before him and desire him to hear. Now that's amplified 1 John 15. We know that through his law he has heard us. And that prayer is put before him. A law of authority. Now I've spoken many times over these past years about the law and position of authority. We have positional authority, be it a pastor over his flock, be it a mayor over his city, a governor over his state, a regional coordinator over a region, a chaplain over a nation, and you're going to take on whichever problems that face, that nation is facing, that city, whatever, that church, your family, the authority over your family. You're going to step into that. There is a law for overstepping, and this can really be something that pastors and teachers have to be careful and avoid, and that is you overstep the Word of God. You put your own slant on it, and that can really, really get you in trouble. So it's best to go by what the Word says. There's a law of worship. There's a law of escape and provision. There are laws of gifts, of forfeiture, of declarations. So there's many things that we're going to deal with over these next weeks. We're going to go into these laws, and we're going to break the curses that are against us and set ourselves free and set our family free, set our church free, set our city free, and we're going to set this nation free as a group of men and women that have been called to do so. And you're going to start exercising authority in the realm that the Lord has given you, that you can deal with these unbroken curses, that you can deal with because you've stepped into a place of authority and repentance, and you're going to bring about revival to the land. And therefore, you're going to surrender the land back to the Lord, and the title deed that you're going to present to him is going to be that of one of surrender. Now, we briefly talked about, Connie was so nice to type up that title deed that's in the back of the From God's Hand to Your Land, and I'm going to print it, and I'm going to, you know, get that seal and have it sealed based on the republic from the nation, as the heads of the nation, to free the title deed for your property, your land. And it's going to be in a scroll-type form. It's going to be a blessing unto you. I guarantee it. God has shown me that. So we're going to move in that area very soon. So that's the teaching for tonight. I took longer than I usually do, but I wanted to encourage you and let you know that we've been walking under the law and not knowing it. We've always thought, well, I've been delivered from the law because Christ came to fulfill the law. Therefore, I'm not subject to the law, but to grace. And that's easy to say, but there's more to it. We still are accused by the brethren. I mean, by the enemy, because he is a legalist. And he's going to bring that law before the Lord continually. And you have to move it through repentance from that courtroom of accusation and judgment and curse, which is you've battled your life, your entire life as Christian and non-Christian, too. You battle the curses, the iniquitous bloodlines. We're going before him, and we're canceling things according to the law, through the blood. Set you and your family free in Yeshua Jesus' name. So I want to encourage each and every one of you that the blessings of the covenant are there. They're available. We are covered. We are set free by the blood. Everything that everybody says, you know, well, I'm set free by the blood. Yeah, you are. Why are you still having the problems? Why are you dealing with your family? What are these things that that besit us? And it happens to me all the time. So it's not that I've got it right. I'm just pressing to get it right. And, you know, there's those that, like Johnny Enloe. Johnny Enloe talks about the seven mountains. Well, there's actually more than seven, but there's seven that God gave him to deal with. And how to go into prayer and how to stand and get these things set free. Well, you know what? Unless we deal with the law and the breaking of the law and the curses that were on the land, the mountains can't be set free because we can't go in and bind the strong man. We say all the time, well, I bind you, strong man, in the name of Jesus. That we have no authority to bind that strong man. And, you can argue and say, well, the Lord's given us all power, all authority over every principality and rule of wickedness. Yeah, he has. But do you have the right of authority? Are you working under the law of authority? Are you in a position to do that? If it's coming against you, yes, you do. If you're coming against a city, a state, or a nation, do you have that authority because you've cleaned up your land, your house? I would say that is a question that we need to deal with over these days and weeks ahead. So thank you for listening. And may the Lord bless each and every one of you that has ears to hear. I want to start calling on people. I want to encourage you. It's not legalism. It's grace. It's the blood of the Lamb and what he did. As you go into this, you gain an additional understanding of exactly what Christ did. How great the blessing is, what he took on in his sacrifice, that he became a sacrifice for us, that we would not fall under the crucifixion, not of the cross, but of the sin, that we could be set free. So praise God. Let me call on some folks. Nancy, I missed you. It's good to see you on. Would you like to share anything tonight?
I don't think so tonight. It's great to be back, and I'm so thankful for your teaching. and what you've had to go through to be able to share it with us.
Well, I feel like a moving target, but that's just life. That's the life of anybody in ministry. Have you been to Israel?
No, we're supposed to leave the 26th of this month.
Okay.
So I still have a few thousand left to come in, but God has really poured it out. And we're asking folks are asking us to stay longer in North Cyprus and in Kosovo, so we may be gone for about 3 months.
Well, praise God. I'll continue to lift you up, and anybody that has ears to hear that feels they maybe can help contribute to Nancy's and her going to over that part of the world, particularly in prayer. She needs to be covered, and that group that's going to be with her needs to be covered as they go to minister. Did you get the books today?
No,
I sent you
haven't.
Well, it depends on where you are and where the postman, you know. I sent out 40 different sets. So you should have had at least 2 books come in by today. And I think most people were getting them Saturday and today. So tomorrow or next day, just keep continually checking.
Okay. I look forward to that because I'm wanting to learn all God has for me to be able to use as we go.
Yes.
And I really do covet everyone's prayer that feels God would have them do that as we go.
Also, you have, there's going to be books coming from you from publishers that I'm sending. So be aware of those, and you should have them well before you leave the country. So is there anything that you'd like to share, or anything you'd like to pray?
Not that I can think of at the moment.
That's quite all right.
Thank you, Ian. Blessings to everybody.
Yes, and to you. I've talked about Connie several times tonight. Connie, is there anything you'd like to share tonight, a prayer you'd like to lift up, a praise, anything you'd like to share with us tonight?
No, not really.
Okay, did you get the mailings as they come to you today?
Nope, not yet.
Okay, well, unfortunately, it's snail mail. What can I say? It is our wonderful de facto government. But I regret that it's not in everybody's hands. But the further you are out from Houston, Texas, the longer it's taken. And it's a shame. All right. Well, if you don't have anything to share, I'm going to call on John Rockwell.
Yes. Actually, I have a request. As we spoke earlier today, and I see both you and Robert are on the call tonight, I was wondering if you guys might sing for us tonight, just for a brief time.
Robert, you in voice tonight? Robert's being quiet. That means he might just break out in song.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hoping, so. And if I'm putting you on the spot, that's fine.
Oh,
there he is.
We're supposed to...
I know, I just am letting spirit lead me tonight, and I've been thinking about that for most of the call tonight, so anyway. If you're not being led, that's okay, too, so.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. We'll just keep going along, and if Robert kicks in, I'll join in, or vice versa. We'll see how that, you know.
Whatever works.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'll kick in, but in a different way, John, if I can.
You most certainly can.
This weekend, there was a revival up in Winslow, Arizona. And for anyone who doesn't know where Winslow, Arizona is, you may remember a song by the Eagles, Standing on a Corner in Winslow, Arizona, and on it goes. So my pastor and I were invited up to not kick off the revival, but day two of the revival, and it goes on for a couple of weeks. And so we drove up there, and, you know, Pastor Tom was wondering just kind of what God would put on his heart for the time, and I went along as his support. And we get up there, and it was just it was a desolate town. It's an impoverished town. It's a has-been town. Just lots of pain. You can just walk into the town and you feel it, you know. And so anyway, we sat outside the information center for a while, just gathering our thoughts and reading our Bibles until the folks who had invited us up kind of arrived at the church. And we arrived at this church, and it turns out that this church used to be called the Old Brown Barn. And it was a real rough and nasty bar in the town. Used to hang an effigy of a guy up on the rafters, and it was a source of lots of shootings and stabbings and just all sorts of stuff. So it was pretty obvious to me that the whole teaching that Wade has been going on about the curses upon the land were really obvious in this place. You look outside, it's like this mud brick church, thick walls, rustic, a couple of drunks leaning against the back alley of it. No parking, you know, it's right on the main street, just quite a sight. So anyway, we go in, and they open up the doors. We walk into this place. It's absolutely beautifully remodeled. Inside, it's got like three stages to it. It's got the front entrance, kind of kitchen area and stuff, and then you walk through a hall, and there's a kids' area, and then you walk in the back, and there's, their sanctuary. Absolutely transformed, and you think, this place is never, ever a bar. So anyway, we arrive, and the guy who organized the revival asked me if I would open with prayer and with a scripture. And so Tom and I had been talking on the way up about what the theme we were feeling was. And, of course, I had my little book with me, Jeanette Strauss's book. And so what kind of strung together for me was this whole idea of the curse upon the land, and speaking about that and taking it to the New Testament, and where the blood of Christ transforms the curse. And what came to my heart was a number of scriptures in that regard, just laying a foundation. Well, I found myself talking about this curse and talking about how on my own property that we inadvertently, as a white man, had dishonored the Indians, because on my particular land was used to be a burial ground for Indians, et cetera. And, of course, up in Winslow, 80 to 90% of the population, at least that came to this church gathering, were Indians. It was blacks, it was whites. And we watched. So then Tom, Willie had some praise and worship and things, and I did break out in song. I forget what they were, John. I'm sorry. But Pastor Tom was led to forget everything he put in his notes, and God prompted him to share his personal testimony. Well, out of that started a process of healing. And we were there from 6 o'clock at night till midnight. And we had one person after another, after Tom gave gave his testimony and his story and had an altar call. We had a couple of drunks, a couple of Indian drunks come up for the altar call, and the love and the acceptance to these people from the congregation was just, it was humbling. It was humbling to see the love and acceptance towards this man and woman. And so they had some real deep pains. But we literally ministered to this congregation from 6 till midnight, one after another after another. And Tom used it as a teaching mode, so he would teach how the Holy Spirit was moving amongst the congregation. He'd watch something happen and say, now see here, God's working here. A bit like John Wimber, if you ever know anything about John Wimber, just instruction in how the Holy Spirit moves and heals. And it was the most amazing time, amazing, to watch God's hand move amongst these people. A little boy came up to me and says, will you pray for my little sister? I said, sure. I'm telling you what's wrong with her. He said, well, she can't lift up her head. She's 5 months old. her mom died at childbirth, and she's just got no strength. She can't lift up her head. Just beautiful stuff. Just beautiful, beautiful stuff. Different people had different issues that were healed, that were resolved. Pain levels at 8 and 9, down to 2, then down to nothing. That's the experience I have this week, profound experience. And, of course, come back as a four-hour drive. We finally get back to Phoenix about 4 o'clock in the morning. And the retaliation, the kickback, was just like unbelievable, unbelievable. And it's like, whoa, just, you know, takes you to the mat. So I see God doing some real, real powerful things going on right now. And at the same time, the devil is having an absolute field day and all of this stuff that Wade's been talking about. I mean, I'm just sitting listening to you, Wade, going, yep, 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 oh yeah, that's going on for me. Yep, that's going on for me. Yep, the devil's got a hold there. Yep. So that's all I wanted to share. So I'll lift it up in a prayer too, if I may.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, I just I thank you. I thank you for the privilege and the honor that you would choose me from time to time to step out and to minister to those in need in the body. I thank you, Lord, that you are an awesome God, that you are equipping your saints, you're equipping us to know how to step out in authority and to see that really the authority that we step out in when we wait on you and you are the head and you move forward is unstoppable. It's totally unstoppable. So, Lord, we see some crazy stuff formulating. We see what the devil's up to and all of his minions. And I know in heaven you just laugh. You just roar with laughter as you see the attempts of the devil to try to control the scene. And I know that you're just getting ready to shrug your shoulders, shake your back, have the very earth cry out, and swallow up the evil that would try to usurp your will, your plan, your destiny for your people. You say that the earth is yours and the fullness thereof, and you say that your word says that the meek shall inherit the earth. So, Lord, we stand in humility and meekness, looking to the hills from where our help comes from, knowing that you truly are in the process of delivering us, and that we are to stand and occupy until you come, that we are to declare your good works, that we are to put our focus on that which is good and beautiful and holy and pure, and that we are to resist Satan and all of his attempts to distract us, pull us into old patterns, pull us into evil ways, pull us into speaking and thinking ill. And we just give you glory, Lord, that your power and your might is complete and sovereign. We come alongside you. We thank you that you are inside us. And I just speak today a surcease, a stopping, an end to the devil's attempts to mutter and peep and to distract your own. I pray protection around your own. I pray for your angels to come and stand guard with us, to deliver us and to guide us in all wisdom, knowledge, and truth, to be able to be free of the yoke of the devil that he would try to lay upon us as if it was our own. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know, I love going to those little places, be it the United States or other countries, to see what God's doing. And you know, here was a perfect example of a place that was cursed, and God has changed it over. And the blessings were coming forth, and I would have loved to have been with you. That would have been a sweet time.
Well, yeah. You almost were. You were almost in town.
I know. I was trying. Believe me, I was trying. let me tell you an interesting circumstance. Everybody will be able to tune into this right now. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law sold a beautiful piece of property just outside of Houston and moved up to Irving, Texas, and my wife was on vacation, so I was required to go with my wife, and if I hadn't, there would have been not peace in the family right now, to help my sister-in-law and her husband move in. So we come to this place, and it's a really nice home, 4,000 square feet, and I get inside, and I just go, ooh. And the home was nice, but you can sense a heaviness. Now, they're not saved. It's kind of, they practice religion, but they have no true walk with the Lord. And we started questioning about their home. It had been two lesbians. It was quite interesting. In the master bedroom, there was a bathroom for the female and a bathroom for the male acting, the female acting as a male. And the house was very ornate and set up literally for orgies. Five bedrooms, five bathrooms. I mean, it was just, I could sense the wickedness of the place. And we had to be there for the time that I wanted to be in Arizona. And I couldn't sleep. I'd get up and wander the house and pray, and we'd anoint the place with oil, but we knew we didn't have true authority. We knew we had a positional authority while we were there, and we could intercede for them, but we're trying to bring them to the fullness of the gospel at the same time. So there's a piece of property, and had all kinds of problems. And he's an engineer, and I have flipped homes and been in real estate and been in construction, and I went in and got him to understand things. I said, look, change this, this, and this. And all of a sudden he started seeing that I could see the vision where he was looking at the problem. I could see the vision of how we're going to resolve this. But I couldn't get them to understand the vision of setting the property free. So my wife and I left there and came to the hotel last night, and we said, Lord, you know, the property needs to be delivered so they can have some freedom, but they've got to be delivered. So we are now interceding for, even more so, for her, Francis's sister and her husband. And we see it sits on a hill. So we're saying, well, this could be a light sitting on the hill in the darkness. So I worked in the garage and unpacked, and I'm a nonstop worker for anybody that's been around me. I'm like a lot of you. I get up and I stop. You know, whatever we got to do, we do. And the grieving of the property, it's like the property was crying out for deliverance, for the sin that had been committed on the property. So we prayed and left. And then we're going to go back. We're going to go back, and we're going to continue to pray and pray for them. But this whole teaching, I guess what I'm getting to the point is, this whole teaching has brought me an awareness of sin on properties. When you walk upon land and what sin is there. So Lord, start as I'm, you know, I do walk in that gift, and I don't always, I try not to, I'll be honest with you, on a regular basis, because it can really mess you up. You know, you start seeing too much, but I'm starting to see it and go, oh Lord, you know, we need to deal with this, we need to deal with this. And by you going into the place that used to be a bar, and so much wickedness was there, to have it turned over to a beautiful church, I just pray that, what was the name of that church again, Robert? What was the name of it?
I think it was like Living Springs or something like that, Living Waters.
All right. Well, Lord, we just come in agreement right now. Here's a prayer of agreement, folks. Okay? I can agree with Robert on this because he was there. Lord, we come in agreement in the name of Yeshua that property would be set free and delivered, God, and the word will be brought forth, and the word will set the captives free, and they'll be received in love in Yeshua Jesus' name. Now, that's already being done there. We just come in agreement that it's going to be a greater work there because of what Robert and his pastor did.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. All right, John. On a motion advati, serebena yatanto, kananama serebeni shingo, seramananan sechi, sharamakorema. Sereve sereku shananama nafti lereba sano shekere panana jingase. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, may the interpretation of that either come through me or from somebody else. He put that in my spirit just then. He downloaded and I had to give it out.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Wait, I feel like I've got the interpretation.
All right.
the Lord says, watch and see what I will place in front of you. Know that I am ordering your steps, and through the teaching that you have received, I've placed within you the confidence and the authority that you need to stand against the forces of darkness and the sin that is upon the land, and even the sin that will be exposed in lives. So stand confident in my authority and know that I will walk you forward, and I will use you to establish and to demonstrate my kingdom in this time, because I am bringing my kingdom from heaven to earth, that you may be a demonstration of my power and my glory.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Glory. Linus, I got, when, as you were bringing that, the Spirit of God would just fall over me. I mean, I'm just, whew. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
And see, there's reason for song.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, we enter into a place of praise in the Spirit. Now, the highest praise is actually singing His Word. That's the highest praise. But as we sing in the Spirit, or we praise in the Spirit, it's bringing His language of His Word. So one syllable, like in Hebrew, minus, it sounded like, well, that was a whole lot more than what Wade sang. One syllable in Hebrew means multiple things. So when you bring a tongue and an interpretation of tongue, it might be a short tongue, but the interpretation is long, because that word that was spoken in the Spirit means multiple things to bring forth revelation. And it's to set the captive, it's for the edification of the church and to set the captives free. So that word was to help set you all free. It was a confirmation of that which is being said, carried forth, that you have the authority, and that's the key. You have the authority. And many of you are given positions. Many of you are on this call right now. There's governors on here that normally weren't there. There's senators that normally aren't on here. There's leaders at the church and business. Marketplace ministry is important to the governor. Marketplace ministry is life. It's life on the street. And as I was saying with this new series that I'm bringing and combining into this, the laws of life are critical for us to get a perspective of what God's saying. That there are laws for everything. We say, oh, gosh, I don't want to be burdened down with the laws. He says there's a law of accountability and responsibility. As you're here, you're responsible for it. I mean, you know, you hear it, and you receive it in your spirit. You're now responsible for it because He's given you wisdom for it. We're getting into a season. It's like right now at Gloria Zion, you know, Robert Heiler's talking about the season. This is the season of the narrow gate or the narrow door. To go through. It's a narrow place. It's the narrow highway. It's the that we're walking through as it leads up to tabernacles. And John and I were talking today. He's hoping he can join me and others as we go up to Glory Zion during tabernacles. Because we want to have the ability to worship together that which God is bringing teaching about. Now, some of what I teach comes from Glory Zion, but it's just a piece of it. You see that I'm bringing books that are coming from all over different references, and people actually send me things all the time. Hey, look what I found. And does this tie in? Well, today, Dr. Marlene McMillan, who I used her series, we taught the entire year of 2012 on the Declaration of Dependence. I used some of her, matter of fact, I've actually spoken out of that on many of these nights. People just didn't know I was using the references. This laws of life, written by a judge that resigned, he gave up his position to minister the gospel. This man understands law, so he understood the law of the land, but he's gaining an understanding of God's law. So this is going to be tied in, because the laws of life are spiritual laws, is what we are supposed to go by. And the people perish because of lack of understanding. We perish because we transgressed the law, but if we didn't know we transgressed it, does that mean if our life was cut short, does that mean that it's such a horrible thing? You know, we'd still end up before the Lord. We're still saved, but we missed a blessing. Or there's things that could have been broken in the bloodlines that we didn't get to do. I want each and every one of us, through these teachings and through this time of praise and worship and testimony, to get set free in such a way that everywhere we go, we're a light in the darkness. And it's getting darker. It's getting darker every day. So even the human eye is able to distinguish a single candle a mile away in total darkness. Well, your light is going to shine as if it's a mile away in total darkness. The little light that you have, this little light of mine, you're going to let shine. And you're going to be able to set other captives free. Just from a word here, a teaching there, that which God is putting in your hands. So glory to God. I'll start preaching. I better stop. Let me call on a couple other folks. Linus, you didn't get a chance to say anything else. I appreciate that interpretation. Is there anything you'd like to share or any other prayer you'd like to lift up?
The thing that comes to my mind is that we just need to watch every day to see the people and the connections that God brings to us. Because I believe so many times we overlook how God orders our steps and is connecting us not only with others in the body of Christ, but he's connecting us with, you know, businessmen and women, men and women of influence, and even people that just need to draw from what we have. And so it is life to me as I watch and see how God orders my steps. And he allows me then to be a demonstration of his kingdom and his power. So I just want to encourage everybody to be prepared every day for God to give you opportunity to let your light shine and to be that demonstration. I just want to exhort us to be more conscious of that.
Amen. Amen. Now, you got your books today because you texted me that you got your books, didn't you?
Yes, they came in.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Praise God. Let me call on John Underwood. John, you're always a blessing to us. I know that, you know, we all go through trials. You go through plenty of them. Did you receive the books I sent you today? Did they come in or not? John, can you... I don't know if you've got yourself muted. I do not have you muted. How about your sweet wife? Is she on the call tonight?
Okay. Are we unmuted now?
Yeah, there we go. Now I can hear you.
Oh, okay. So, no, I didn't get the... I haven't been home yet, so I don't know if I got the books today, but didn't get them before today.
Okay.
So... something good happened. I had been hoping and praying that the Lord would open an opportunity for me to sacrifice for my wife so that I could show her in yet another way how that I love her. Anyway, so I was taking her to the bus station downtown Portland on Sunday, and we're about a half hour away from the house, and she discovered she had left her cell phone at home. So she a little bit later came up with the idea of me loaning her my phone, and I would get her phone when I got home. And she was going up to visit our daughter in her family in the Seattle area. So anyway, so I thought about it, but I hesitated to loan it to her because I use it for so many things besides just a phone. But anyway, so I talked to her about that and so on, and finally I said, well, dear, because... I want you to know how much I love you. I'm going to let you use my phone. So, praise the Lord. It's I got her phone. She is mine.
All right, praise God.
Yeah.
That she gets, you know, and I know because people are calling you because of work and stuff, but that's okay. She's, you know, I guess she can also find out how busy you are. Have you heard anything? What about teaching in your church? Have you heard anything? Anything new that you'd like to share? That might line up.
I don't think so.
Okay,
but
that's all right.
You know, I was thinking that in order for her to want to join me in getting rid of this divorce curse against our land, then that would kind of indicate that she wants to be in relationship with me, which I'm not sure she wants to do yet at this point. Anyway.
Well, you break it off as the head of the family and then see if she'll join you. Because the enemy, you know, that curse, you all purchased the curse. So the effort to bring about divorce and breaking of relationships tied into the land. Now, you might have had, you know, family issues beside that, or relationship issues, but also there's a curse on the land that you're subject to. So bind that up, take it to the courts, cancel the assignment of it, get it covered by the blood, that cannot be an entry point for the enemy. Let me give you a perfect example, and this is something Ken and I, he's strong on, I have not done, and y'all just have to bear with me because I don't do everything that some of the folks in the Republic do, but in searching ancestors, you can find out that, and this was it's in the books, Jeanette was dealing with a family, and they wanted to know, where did this curse come from? Where did this iniquitous problem enter in through their bloodline? And they went back, and when their ancestor entered into the United States and they were given citizenship, it allowed an open door for ancestral curses to come from Europe into their family in the United States. So that's why I say, you know, it talks about curses can be passed on from, you know, up to four generations, but the problem is, it ends in four generations. No, it doesn't. If along the way any of those four generations picked it up, it just adds four more. It just keeps on going. So we end up with things that we're dealing with, unbeknownst to us, that were created by 10 generations ago, 15 generations ago. People say, how can that be? Because of the bloodline. It's a bloodline curse. Or we purchase into a bloodline curse. And you say, well, how can this be? It's the laws of the land. It's the laws of God that he laid forth. The blood cries out from the land. The earth cries out. The blood of the righteous Cain, you know, and Abel and Cain, the blood cries out. The blood of the innocents, you know, cry out. So deal with it on your side first to shut the door that she could be set free through your intercession and you standing in the gap.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything you'd like to pray?
So, go ahead and pray. Lord, I just praise your name for your infinite wisdom and your plan of redemption and how you made a way for us to be set free. I thank you, Lord, for how you're moving in what happened in on the East Coast there when the lightning came down and all that, how you're establishing your covenant on this land once again. Lord, we give you praise for that, and we say amen to that establishment. So we thank you, Lord, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over this land. And we crown you King, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that you have won the victory. And all we have to do is step into it. We thank you for this privilege of learning about, more about how to step into it. We just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. Let me call on somebody. It's a friend of mine. We actually work together, and this is funny. And I'm calling on you, but Robert and I, and this is not a homosexual thing. Robert and I developed a love relationship in the Lord. I dearly love him before I ever got to meet him. Okay, and it all came through prayer and through association. God gave me a supernatural love for many men and women that I'd never seen. Now, Matt, I've grown to love you, and I've never met you. But I know God's moving on your behalf, and I know he's moving in your life. So, Matt, is there anything you'd like to share about what God's doing or anything you're seeing in this that could be a blessing to us tonight and or a prayer or a request for prayer?
Yeah, obviously, you know, I haven't had a chance to delve into all the books yet, but as soon as I get them, I will. But an interesting thing has occurred. I'm in the process of reading another book written by Shane Warren called Unlocking the Heavens, and this particular book is focused on worship. And you alluded to that earlier of just the ability of what Christ did through his blood gives us access to just bypass everything right into the Holy of Holies and to receive, you know, a cleansing each and every day. It's the same principle as claiming your land. It's taking that before the righteous judge, the only one who is qualified to do that. We on our own can't do it. But because of Christ and his ultimate sacrifice and his blood, we have the ability to do this. And the thing that strikes me is, even in, I heard this in a teaching on Sunday, they were teaching about 1 Corinthians, and they were talking about when the perfection comes, and they actually went back to the fact that the word was the perfect thing, and I almost fell out of my chair when I heard that, as opposed to Christ, the perfection. And I thought to myself, there is a blindness and there's a lack of truth that's being preached in a lot of churches around this country, and that's part of, you know, the issue with the covering over this land. It's just, again, it goes back to lack of knowledge. And
yeah.
So when I listen to the teaching and I listen to all the testimonies, you know, the thing that moved in my spirit was this. You know, God is using this knowledge to be imparted into true believers in order to make an impact for his kingdom, to open up the light of truth and to reclaim one person, one piece of property, and it'll spread. And my prayer is just that this teaching and this group and this core of people here that are just dedicated to this will continue to grow and grow, and God will continue to bless it. And through prayer and everything, every spiritual power that we have within us united in Christ in those courts, I see nothing but blessings. And as this teaching continues, I continue to see doors and barriers continue to fall before the Lord for his glory. And that's the word I wanted to bring.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you were mailed everything. I see that I could send you a complete set also. So those are coming to you. Blessings. You know, also, this is a side note, Matt, just, and this is a blessing. I got applications. I got a phone call from the UN, and applications came to me through a private source from the UN for grants. And there's money out there that everybody wants to use for other nations. And I says, can I use this money and make application for grants for the United States? And they said, yes. They said, we need to restore the land. The guy understood. And he's not even a Christian, but he understood that we need to restore the nation. So that was sent off to Harold today for things to be starting to fill out. So forgive me, folks, different note. But it all ties back in. So I'm doing what I can to press in, and now the Lord is opening doorways as high as the UN, as high as international finance, to restore the nation in areas that I believe we're going to have preference in. So I think each and every one of you should start getting preferential treatment in that which you do, that doors are open, that God can pour out a blessing. Because he wants to pour out a blessing, he can't pour out a blessing when there's, you know, and people say, well, you know, my Baptist friend, he's got this, he got that. You know, we can walk in ignorance and get blessed. God's promises bless us. But he wants to put in the hands of those that are seeking him and seeking to be cleansed, he wants to put great abundance in their hands for his kingdom. And be a recipient, be a conduit, each and every one of you. You know, that you can go forth and change lives, and in that, change the land.
Yep.
Thank you, Matt. Richard, let me call on you for a minute. And there's so many people on the call right now, I can't even call on all the regulars, but I want to call on some people just to give them an opportunity. Richard, anything you'd like to share with us tonight? We've only got about 20 minutes left. I want to call on at least five people.
What keeps coming to me is that whether it's just me or whether many of us or whether it's a new direction that's being given to us. What's coming to me is that we've been in the wrong court for a long time. And we believe we've been in the right court. Okay, and we need to, you know, get this teaching to the point where we know unequivocally, without any reservation, that we are in the right court. I believe that there's been a lot of heartbreak just because we've been maybe tricked or misled or however we got there. We spent too much time and energy in the wrong court and never accomplished what our intentions were simply because of the location we ended up in without our knowledge or consent.
My friend, that's wisdom.
That's what I have. That's it.
That's revelation wisdom from the throne of God that you just spoke. Would you like to express it in prayer?
You got everything I have right there.
All right, I'm going to put your words in prayer. Father, we have seen that we have gone before the wrong jurisdiction, the wrong courts in our lives, and not accomplished that which we desired or you put in our hearts to desire. And we have felt like failures. We felt like we failed our family, we failed our church, we failed our business, simply because we lacked the knowledge. The word is clear. In any judgment situation, lack of knowledge is not an excuse. If we break a speed limit and we get a ticket, the fact that you didn't know the speed limit makes no difference. That's a simple side of it. Father, we have done things improperly out of lack of knowledge. Forgive us for the lack of knowledge. You said that there would come a time when knowledge would greatly increase. I have said over and over again, Lord, it's not technical knowledge, and I deal in technologies. It's knowledge of you. So help us to gain in this teaching, in our prayers, in our work and efforts, knowledge of you to bring end time kingdom freedom for your people and ourselves and our families. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Let me call a couple people that I haven't called on before. Bob, would you like to share with us anything?
I just appreciate being on. I unfortunately am multitasking and racing on the computer while I'm listening.
That's all right.
But I do appreciate the effort that you're putting out and filling the needs that we all have. And it's just appreciated.
Yeah, praise God. Praise God. I hope that it'll help you. Bob and I are working. I ask all of you to keep Bob and I lifted up. We're working with some of the leadership for the nation to help bring about restoration in certain areas, which we can't talk about, but we are seeing breakthroughs. So thank you for being here, my friend.
Well, I appreciate
it.
Glory to
God. Yeah. Now, here's somebody that most of you know has been a dear friend, was a regional coordinator. He and his wife, Danette, are about as solid as you can get. Bruce, would you? I said Jeanette. Linda. I got Jeanette on my mind. The Bruce and Linda Dittler. And would you like to share anything, either one of you?
Well, hello. It's a blessing to have a free evening and be back.
Well, praise God. Glad you're here. It's always good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. We always learn, and we're always wanting to climb higher on a regular basis. So praise God for anything that we can receive from the body and partake and use. I would like to share a few things. One of the things I heard while you were talking, and it was, you know, it was excellent teaching. You are a teacher, as my husband is. I'm not a teacher, and I seem to sense out there some cries of, I can't remember all of that, or I won't remember what to say. And I just want to encourage everybody, the Lord doesn't want us to be overwhelmed. That's not a character quality that God has given us. That's a trap of the devil. And you put everything so well, Way, but for people that can't remember the exact words, I feel like I'm supposed to encourage us, God doesn't have a Black Laws dictionary. And
that's
he's
right.
Not standing over us hoping to trap us. And as Robert said, you know, he just got up this weekend and obeyed the Holy Spirit and listened to the Holy Spirit. So we need to continue to learn on a daily basis, and it's excellent to learn, but we need to remember not to go into a stationary mode because we don't know it all. As we open our mouth, the Holy Spirit will fill it. We will learn and advance and go forward. And you said it so well in one of the things you said, is it pleases the Lord when we bring his word to him. And the word continues to say, if you do this, then I'll do that. And we may not see it as laws of God, but that's basically what it is. So as we pray the word, as we obey the word, we are moving in the direction and going higher in the Lord. So I'm certainly not discounting anything you say. I want to learn as much as I can. But I just want to encourage those that don't have a mind to retain it all in one or two teachings. Just step out and yield to the Lord. And Brother Wade, I wanted to encourage you, one of the things, and pray about it, but one of the things that came to my mind when you were sharing about your brother-in-law and sister-in-law and helping them move and praying for them, but they need to take, you know, authority, which I agree with, et cetera. But one of the things that came to my mind, because they were receiving from you that granted you more authority. You were already there on a mission to give to them. And I just felt in my spirit that that gave you more authority than if you had just been a passerby or had just, you know, bopped in on them, you know, unexpected, doing whatever. So I just felt like that maybe was an open door for you and Francis to claim a little bit more ground, maybe. It might be the way to put it. And I love you all, and I'll let Bruce talk.
Well, good evening.
Good evening. It's definitely good to hear your voice. I always love to hear your wife's voice, but, you know, it's good to hear you, too.
I don't, but anyway.
You might let them know that that's only when you disagree.
That's only
right.
When I'm missing God, you know, whatever. praise God. We, as we've said before, we're all different parts of the body, and Linda's an exhorter, and she can't teach, but boy, she can talk for hours, and you know you've been blessed after she's finished, but you don't know what she said, but it really ministered to the heart. And so I praise God for my wife of going on 43 years. And I want to encourage as well. I was blessed, Wade, by the testimony of your the situation with your daughter, and I know that that God is still moving by His power and by His Spirit, and through Dad's prayers, that things are moving in a good, in a godly direction, and that's absolutely exciting. And we think as dads, well, you know, hey, she missed it, therefore I missed it, and where did I go wrong, and could I have done differently so that she or he, you know, son, would not have missed the mark or gone off stray. And, you know, God is bigger than our mess-ups. And I praise God that as we speak, as we have been faithful in our failing attempts over the years to speak truth, to speak life, to show discernment through the Word of God, that it did not all fall on deaf ears. That there is a kernel of life in their spirits that is being watered. And, you know, we may plant, somebody else may water, but God is going to bring the increase. And I believe, and I want to encourage you, you're going to see the fullness of that you're praying for in your daughter's life. And same thing with the marriages. Our daughter, we got a call from our daughter this afternoon, and I've wondered many times, where did I miss it here? But she had opportunity, and she's been through some rough times in her own life, in marriage, et cetera, et cetera. And the Lord used her mightily today to minister to another gal whose son our daughter cares for. He's a disabled adult. And anyway, the mom is going through all sorts of things without going into great detail. She's struggling in the marriage, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Sarah had opportunity, our daughter had opportunity to share her testimony with this woman. And the gal said, oh my goodness, I've had nothing like you've had, and yet this woman has, you know, set about the process for divorcing her husband, not realizing she didn't have it bad at all. And just the wisdom, listening to the wisdom that was coming forth from our daughter as she related it to us later, glory to God. What was spoken over the years, all the little things, when I think, well, she's just laying on the couch there like a vegetable, not even listening. She's picking it up. And she will be able to go forth, and your daughter will be able, Wade, to go forth and minister life and truth and deliverance and healing to others as well. And I praise God that even though the devil may come against when we try to step out and do things, and you know, Robert has expressed that, the things that have, you know, gone on in that regard as well, the devil is underfoot. And what God has joined together, you know, no man or devil is going to put asunder as long as we're standing our ground and our righteousness in Christ Jesus and under the blood of Yeshua. So we need to do what we know to do individually. So what are you doing, Bruce? Well, we're finishing up a bathroom. Well, that's not real spiritual. Well, it really is spiritual because that's what God told us to do. And if we aren't faithful in what he's told us to do now, even if nobody else is doing it, we're not going to see where he wants to take us next. We need to be faithful where we are in order for him to order our steps in the future. He's going to say, well, you haven't done what I told you to do last time. You're expecting me to lead you farther? So I encourage folks to be faithful in ministry and life and speaking the word and praying and loving your wife and loving your kids and being a light on the work situation, whatever it happens to be. That is faithfulness, and in that faithfulness, God will then be able to use that and order our steps. And something was mentioned earlier about discernment as well, and that, in my thinking, is the greatest need in the body of Christ, spiritual discernment. And the idea of the breaking the curses and the wisdom and understanding and receiving knowledge and not rejecting knowledge. If we reject the knowledge that the Lord gives, he said, I'll reject you. So we need to receive what's coming forth and balance it with the Word of God and walk in discernment in every area that we can be the blessing that God has called us to be. And I thank you, Wade, for your willingness to be that channel of blessing to the body of Christ that's on this call tonight and throughout the nation. And I just encourage you in the work that God's called you to do. It is mighty, it is powerful, it is accomplishing his will, and to him be the glory. So, Father, amen, amen. We thank you for your love and faithfulness tonight. We thank you, Father, for bringing us to this call, for imparting your wisdom and understanding, your counsel, your might, your knowledge, Father, that we might walk in the fear and discernment of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, that we could be the blessings you've called us to be, Father, that we might know your voice, that we might know your direction, even if nobody else is going that way, Lord, that we would go the way you've called us to go. Father, because it's all in your plan, it's all in your purpose, Father, and we desire that you would have the center place in our lives. Father, that we would be in the center of your perfect will for our lives now and in the future, in the days ahead, Lord, that you might do that which you would ordain and desire to do in and through us in the earth. Have your will in your way in our lives. Have your will in your way through this call, Father God. Set captives free by the power of the Holy Ghost, and be glorified in Yeshua's holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad you two could join us tonight.
Thank you.
Matt, I want to address you with something. I didn't do it a second ago. Literally, Shane Warren was the person that was earmarked to take my place. So we're familiar with him and actually have talked to him, but at this time the Lord said no. So we all run in a lot of the same circles, so that's a good thing. I want to, there's many more people on the call. There's far too many to call on tonight. Now, I want to close it out with something. I want to pray a prayer. Now, I have this authority. As the chaplain for the nation, I have this authority. It's a prayer of cleansing, and I want you all to listen to it. And again, it's not something you have to repeat by rote. It's just something that God wants you to know, and as you receive these books, you're going to see these different prayers. And this is a prayer. I'm going to change it to meet our specific needs. Heavenly Father, Yahweh, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come to your courtroom of heaven today, this day, this night, to present ourselves and our lives before you. We're here to repent for any sin that we may have committed against your word. We ask that you would show us any sins that could be used against us in the spiritual court of the law of heaven, so that we can represent them before you in repentance, asking forgiveness, asking for you to cleanse us of them with the blood of Jesus. We know that in the courtrooms of heaven, only truth will be presented. Anything or everything will be brought out into the open. The books are opened, Lord God. Our lives will be examined. And before we can present any other case, the accuser is going to be sure of that. So, Lord, we ask that you would wash us with the precious blood that you shed, that sets us free and washes away our sins. You said in Jude 1:24 that you are able to keep us from stumbling and to present us faultless before the presence of your glory and exceeding great joy to our Father. We ask that you move us and our case from the courtroom of judgment to the throne of grace and mercy and remove any veils that are over our eyes of understanding so we can see the truth in areas where we have been blinded. Show us the patterns of wrong thinking that may have built strongholds in our minds, in our bodies, in our properties, in our families. And pull down these strongholds, for we do so in your word and according to your way and will. Help us to see clearly and correctly and see the problems. Help us to declare and decree and embrace your word and your truth as we walk it out with your help. Thank you for your grace and mercy and for the shed blood of Jesus that paid the price for our debt, for all the sin that we've done, and for the sin that's been in the bloodlines and on our properties. It was a debt that we could not pay. Silver or gold could not cover it, and by no human's means could it be covered. As our spiritual debt has been paid in full, we are no longer in bondage to it, and we choose to walk in freedom. Your word says that you acknowledge that if we acknowledge our sin unto you and our iniquity has not been hidden. And you said, Lord God, if we confess our transgressions to you, you will forgive the iniquity of our sin. Colossians 1:20 says, to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether by means on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. We proclaim that we have been justified and accepted to be able to stand before you to present our petitions because of the shed blood of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. And we now, as ambassadors for Christ, to the Lord God our Father, plead our case and implore you that you cleanse us and reconcile us to our Father. For you were made sin who knew no sin, that we may become righteous to God Father through you. We thank you for this. We bless you. We exalt you. In Yeshua's precious name, Jesus our Messiah. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
With that, I'm going to close. First of all, I'm going to turn off the recording.